Tape recorded message number TL416. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and the fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel chapter 45, 45th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and our study today will be a simple Bible reading. I trust that you'll have your Bibles open and you will follow me as I read, and we'll seek to become more familiar with these words that Ezekiel wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 45, verse 1, it continues and says, "Moreover, when ye shall divide by lot the land for inheritance, you shall offer an oblation unto the Lord, an holy portion of the land. The length shall be the length of 25,000 reeds, the breadth shall be 10,000, This shall be holy in all the borders thereof round about." This was to be a plot of land, and it was to be set apart as being holy for the Lord. "Of this there shall be for the sanctuary 500 in length, with 500 in breadth, square round about, 50 cubits round about for the suburbs thereof. And of this measure shall thou measure the length of 25,000, and the breadth of 10,000, and in it shall be the sanctuary and the most holy place." Sanctuary, of course, would be the temple containing the most holy place. "The holy portion of the land shall be for the priests, the ministers of the sanctuary, which shall come near to minister unto the Lord." They would not stay here at all times, but they would come here, and during the times of their ministry, there they would reside. "It shall be a place for their houses, and a holy place, a hallowed, sanctified place for the sanctuary." Verse 5, we read that the 25,000 of length and the 10,000 of breadth shall also the Levites, the minister of the house, have for themselves for a possession for 20 chambers. "And ye shall appoint the possession of the city 5,000 broad, 25,000 long, over against the oblation of the holy portion. It shall be for the whole house of Israel." I would like to digress here and say that as to the length of a reed and the length of a cubit, there is a great many problems. If we take it one way, it would seem to throw everything out of order. But the thing is this, we're not going to build any temples. We're not going to set apart any land for the Lord. And when the time comes that this should be done, we can rest assured that Ezekiel, raised from the dead, will be there, and he will tell us exactly what a cubit is, exactly how long a reed is, and those who lay out this plot of land for the building of the sanctuary and the houses for the priest and the places for the Levites and so on, well, they will know the exact measurement right down to 1 millimeter if it's necessary for it to be that close. We do not need to know this at the present time. This is something for the future. Now we read in verse 7, "And a portion shall be for the prince on the one side and on the other side of the oblation of the holy portion and of the possession of the city before the oblation of the holy portion and before the possession of the city from the west side westward, the east side eastward. The length shall be over against one of the portions from the west border unto the east border. In the land shall be his possession in Israel. And my princes shall no more oppress my people, and the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to their tribes. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Ye shall have just balances, and a just ephah, that's a measure, and a just bath. The ephah and the bath shall be of one measure, that the bath may contain the tenth part of an homer. The ephah, the tenth part of an homer, the measure off there shall be after the homer. Homer was about, we're told, 86 gallons, and so on. And the shekel shall be 20 gerahs. A gerah is said to be 11 and 2-point grains, 5 and 20 shekels, 15 shekels shall be your manna. And the manna was equal to 1/6 to what they call a talent. This is the oblation that ye shall offer, the sixth part of an ephah of a homer of wheat, and ye shall give the sixth part of an ephah of a homer of barley. Now concerning the ordinance of the oil, the bath of oil, ye shall offer the tenth part of a bath out of the core, which is an homer of 10. Core was about 86 gallons, which is the homer of 10 baths, for 10 baths are an homer. One lamb out of the flock, out of 200, out of the fat pastures of Israel, for a meat offering, and for a burnt offering, and for peace offerings, to make reconciliation for them, saith the Lord God. All the people of the land shall give this oblation for the prince in Israel, and it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings, and meat offerings, and drink offerings, in the feast, in the new moons, in the Sabbaths, in all solemnities of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, and the meat offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offerings to make reconciliation for the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the first month, in the first day of the month, thou shalt take a young bullock without blemish and cleanse the sanctuary. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering and put it upon the post of the house and upon the four corners of the settle of the altar. It would really be the foundation, the thing upon which the altar would set, and upon the post of the gate of the inner court. And so shalt thou do the seventh day of the month for every one that erreth, and for him that is simple, so shall he reconcile the house. In the first month, in the 14th day of the month, he shall have the Passover. Now the Passover date was fixed, but since it was fixed by Jehovah here, if he wanted to observe it a day early, he could do so because he was the one that set the date. The one that makes the laws has the right to repeal them or even to suspend them. But he states here, as is stated in many places, in the first month, this would be our April, they called it Abib, but it is our April, in the 14th day of the month ye shall have the Passover. This Passover was a feast of 7 days, not one day, but a feast of 7 days. Unleavened bread shall be eaten. It was not a time really of what we would call feasting. This was not a time for the consumption of great amounts of food. But it was just simply a festival we observed 7 days. And during this time they were to eat unleavened bread. And upon that day shall the prince prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bullock for a sin offering. This prince was to prepare this for a sin offering. In 7 days of the feast he shall prepare a burnt offering to the Lord, 7 bullocks and 7 rams without blemish daily the 7 days, and a kid of the goats daily for a sin offering. And he shall prepare a meat offering of an ephah for a bullock, and an ephah for a ram, and a hin for an oil of the ephah. In the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month, shall he do the like in the feast of 7 days, according to the sin offering, according to the burnt offering, according to the meat offering, and according to the oil. And thus, as we come to the end of this chapter, we find here the most exact details are given as to how God shall be worshipped, for this is a part and will be in the future a part of the divine religion that God gave to the people Israel. The only people to whom God ever gave a religion, to whom he ever gave an observance or an ordinance, was the people of Israel. In order to make up their own religions, the Gentiles have taken some of the things from Israel, even circumcision. Now, they have taken some of these things, and they have made up their own religion of days and weeks and months and years and garments and so on. That will not be so when God governs the earth. It will be done just this way, and this is for the people of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, the 46th chapter. The gate of the inner court that looketh toward the east shall be shut the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath it shall be open. 6 days this gate was to be closed, on the Sabbath day it shall be open, and in the day of the new moon it shall be open. And the prince shall enter in by the way of the porch of that gate without, shall stand by the post of the gate, and the priest shall prepare his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate, and he shall go forth, but the gate shall not be shut until evening. Likewise the people of the land shall worship at the door of this gate before the Lord in the Sabbath and in the new moons. And the burnt offering that the priest shall offer unto the Lord in the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish, and a ram without blemish, and the meat offering shall be an ephah for a ram, the meat offering for the lambs, as he shall be able to give, and a hin of oil to an ephah. And in the day of the new moon it shall be a young bullock without blemish, and 6 lambs and a ram, they shall be without blemish. And he shall prepare a meat offering, an ephah for a bullock, an ephah for a ram, and for the lambs according as his hand shall attain unto, and a hin of oil to an ephah. And when the prince shall enter, he shall go in by the way of the porch of that gate, and he shall go forth by the way thereof. But when the people of the land shall come before the Lord in the solemn feast, he that entereth in by the way of the north gate to worship shall go out by the way of the south gate. He that entereth in by the way of the south gate shall go forth by the way of the north gate. He shall not return by the way of the gate whereby he came in, but he shall go forth over against it. And the prince in the midst of them, when they go in, shall go in, and when they go forth, shall go forth. And in the feast, and in the solemnities, the meat offering shall be an ephah to a bullock, and an ephah to a ram, and to the lambs he is able to give, and an hin of oil to an ephah. Now when the prince shall prepare a voluntary burnt offering, or peace offerings voluntary unto the Lord, one shall then open him the gate that looketh toward the east. He shall prepare his burnt offerings and his peace offerings, as he did on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go forth, and after his going forth, one shall shut the gate. Thou shalt daily prepare a burnt offering unto the Lord of a lamb of the first year without blemish. Thou shalt prepare it every morning, and thou shalt prepare a meat offering for it every morning, the 6th part of an ephah, and the 3rd part of a hin of oil, to temper with the fine flour, a meat offering continually by a perpetual ordinance. That's the word olam there, translated perpetual, and rightly so, unto the Lord. Thus shall they prepare the lamb, and the meat offering, and the oil, every morning for a continual burnt offering. Thus saith the Lord God, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons, it shall be their possession by inheritance. But if he give a gift of his inheritance to one of his servants, it shall be his to the year of liberty, after it shall return to the prince, but his inheritance shall be his sons for them. In other words, if he gave to his sons, they kept it in perpetuity. But if he gave it to a servant, it returned in the year of liberty, which was the year of Jubilee. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance by oppression to thrust them out of their possession, but he shall give his sons inheritance out of his own possession, that my people be not scattered every man from his possession. Strict instructions, strict ritual, strict worship, and all of this was to be done in the day when God governed, in the day when Israel was restored to her land. Now in verse 19 it says, after he brought me through the entry, which was at the side of the gate into the holy chambers of the priest, which looked toward the north, and behold, there was a place on the two sides westward. Then said he unto me, This is the place where the priest shall boil, or see the trespass offering, where they shall bake the meat offering, that they bear them not into the utter court to sanctify the people. Then he brought me forth into the utter court, caused me to pass by the four corners of the court, and behold, in every corner of the court there was a court. In the four corners of the court there were courts joined to 40 cubits long and 30 broad. These four corners were of one measure, and there was a row of building round about in them, round about them four, and it was made with boiling places under the rows round about. Then said he unto me, These are the places of them that boil, where the ministers of the house shall boil the sacrifice of the people. So, in vision, he is in the kingdom temple, commonly called the millennial temple, but this is the temple of the kingdom of God. When God again governs the people of Israel, he's in that temple, and he is seeing all the details of it. All of these things can be brought back to his remembrance, probably when he might say will supervise the construction of this in the days of the kingdom of God. Now, in verse 47, chapter 47, verse 1, we read, Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house, the south side of the altar, commonly called the river of the sanctuary, which is a proper name for it. You read about this also in Zechariah 14, and probably there's a reference to it in Revelation chapter 22. In verse 2 we read, Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees, getting deeper all the time. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, were to the loins. After he measured 1,000, it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. Waters that you could only swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I would return, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which bring but forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Probably a reference to the Dead Sea, when its waters shall be healed. Sea of Salt at the present time, but here the waters shall be healed. It shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live whither the river cometh. It shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it, and En Gedi, even unto En Eglim, they shall be a place to spread forth nets. The fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the marry places thereof, and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. Just a continual bearing of fruit. so that upon these trees that you would find the ripe fruit, and you would find also the blossoms with all the stages in between. This would be according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat. Meat is food, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Reminds us of the fact that the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, but the leaf thereof for medicine. Thus saith the Lord God, this shall be the border, whereby ye shall inherit the land according to the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph shall have 2 portions, and ye shall inherit it, one as well as another, concerning which I have lifted up mine hand to give it to your fathers. This land shall fall unto you for inheritance, and this shall be the border of the land toward the north side, from the great sea, the way of Hethlon, as men go to Zadad, Hamath, Barotha, Sibraim, which is between the border of Damascus and the border of Hamath, Hazer Hadikon, which is by the coast of Horan. And the border from the sea shall be Hazer Enon, the border of Damascus, northward, the border of Hamath, and this is the north side. The east side ye shall measure from Horan, and from Damascus, from Gilead, the land of Israel by Jordan, from the border on the east sea, and this is the east side. And the south side southward, from Tamar, even the waters of the strife in Kadesh, the river at the great sea, this is the south side southward. The west side also shall be the great sea from the border, till a man come over against Hamath, this is the west side. So shall ye divide this land unto you according to the tribes of Israel, and shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for inheritance unto you, and the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you, and they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel. And it shall come to pass that in what tribe the stranger sojourneth, that ye shall give him his inheritance, saith the Lord God. Now, this is the law for the division of the land, and it is a law that could have no application and could have no meaning until the day that God governs, and men can divide the land and know its exact borders according to that which is laid down in the book of Ezekiel. We may think that these chapters are not important, and they don't seem to be of any present importance to us, but the day will come when there will be no record that is more important, no record that is more valuable, no record that is more instructive, no more record that is just simply the will of God. For this is the will of God, not the will of God for individuals, but it's just the will of God, and they that do this will be doing the will of God. Now it gives the names of the tribes. And it says, from the north to the end of the coast, by the way of Hethlon, as one goeth to Hamath, Hazer Enan, the border of Damascus northward to the coast of Hamath, for these are his sides east and west, a portion for Dan. So at the very north, Dan was to have his portion. Then by the border of Dan, from the east side and the west side, a portion for Asher. See, there's your two names now, Dan and Asher. By the border of Asher, from the east side and the west side, a portion for Naphtali. And that's the third. We're working from north down toward the south. And by the borders of Naphtali, from the east side to the west, a portion for Manasseh. Then by the border of Manasseh, from the east side and the west side, a portion for Ephraim. And by the border of Ephraim, from the east side and the west side, a portion for Reuben. Then finally, on the northern part, by the border of Reuben, from the east side and the west side, a portion for Judah. By the border of Judah, from the east side to the west side, shall be the offering which ye shall offer of 5 and 20,000 reeds in breadth, and in length as one of the other parts from the east side and the west side. The sanctuary shall be in the midst of it. The oblation that ye shall offer unto the Lord shall be of 25,000 in length and of 10,000 in breadth. Now, what you get here is that beginning at the north, there's a portion for Dan, a portion for Asher, a portion for Naphtali, a portion for Manasseh, a portion for Ephraim, a portion for Reuben, then the portion for Judah. Then you get this great portion, which is to take in the city of Jerusalem, and it takes in the temple, the place for the Levites, the place for the priest, and the territory also that belongs to the city on the east and the west. Now, we read on, and because this is the portion now for the priest and the Levites. And for them, even for the priests, shall be this holy oblation toward the 25,000 in length, toward the west 10,000 in breadth, toward the east 10,000 in breadth, toward the south 25,000 in length. The sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. This is the temple that will be there in the millennium, in the kingdom, even before the millennium, I want to say. And so in this portion given to the priests, was the place for the temple. Now, this shall be for the priests that are sanctified of the sons of Zadok, which have kept my charge, which went not astray when the children of Israel went astray, as the Levites went astray. And this oblation of the land that is offered shall be unto them a thing most holy by the border of the Levites. And over against the border of the priests, the Levites shall have 25,000 in length, 10,000 in breadth. All the length shall be 25,000, the breadth 10,000. And they shall not sell it, neither exchange, nor alienate the first fruits of the land, for all this is holy unto the Lord. And the 5,000 that are left in the breadth over against the 25,000 shall be a profane place for the city, for dwelling and for suburbs, and the city shall be in the midst thereof. That is the city of Jerusalem. And these shall be the measures thereof. The north side 4,500. The south side 4,500. On the east side 4,500. The west side 4,500. The suburbs of the city shall be toward the north 250. Toward the south 250. 200 toward the east, 250 toward the east, and the west 250. Now that would be the suburbs, the territory that belongs to this city. And the residue in length over against the oblation, the holy portions, will be 10,000 eastward, 10,000 westward. Shall be over against the oblation, the holy portion. The increase thereof shall be for food for them that serve the city. And they that serve the city shall serve it out of all the tribes of Israel. The oblation shall be 25,000 by 25,000. Ye shall offer the holy oblation four square in the with the possession of the city. Now all the residue that is left shall be the portion for the prince on the one side, on the other side of the holy oblation. This holy oblation that was given as a part of the city, this was to be for the prince. And the measures are given. In the 22nd verse, moreover, from the possession of the Levites and from the possession of the city, being in the midst of that which is the prince, between the border of Judah and the border of Benjamin, shall be for the prince. As for the rest of the tribes. Now, you see, we had 7 tribes north of all of this. Now we start south, and the first portion is for Benjamin. That's recorded in verse 23. Then the next is for Simeon, and the border of Simeon, south of him, was to be a portion for Issachar. And by the border of Issachar, there was a portion for Zebulun. By the border of Zebulun, the east side, the west, there was to be a portion for Gad. And by the border of Gad at the south-southward, and the border shall be even from Tamar under the waters of strife in Kadesh, and by the river toward the great sea. This is the land which ye shall divide by lot unto the tribes of Israel for inheritance, and these are their portions, saith the Lord God. See, outside of this spatial portion that they were to have, and then this was to be divided. These are the goings out of the city on the north side, 4,500 measures. The gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates northward, 1 gate for Reuben, 1 gate for Judah, and 1 gate for Levi. These side 4,500 and 3 gates, 1 gate of Joseph, 1 gate of Benjamin, 1 gate of Dan. And at the south side 4,500 measures, 3 gates, 1 gate for Simeon, 1 gate for Issachar, 1 gate for Zebulun. The west side 4,500 with their 3 gates, 1 gate for Gad, 1 gate for Asher, 1 gate for Naphtali. 35th verse, it was round about 18,000 measures. The name of the city from that day shall be, notice this is to be the name of the city, the Lord is there. That is to be its name, that is to what they understand as being its meaning. The Lord is there. Now, the book of Ezekiel comes to an abrupt close. In the early days of my life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I read through the book of Ezekiel, and I found some things that were interesting, but there were so many uninteresting things and so many meaningless things that I passed over, I'm afraid, the careful study of the plain parts, because I was so much disturbed by the parts that were so mysterious. And when it came time for me to put this book in as a part of the tape recorded ministry, because I do intend in time to try to cover every book in the Bible, I was very hesitant and very loath to start the book of Ezekiel. And yet I realized that the people that get these tapes are not a people that are looking for something wild, something fancy. They just want to hear the book. They want to hear what I have to say about it. And if I have nothing to say about it, they don't want me to make something up. They want me to keep still. I remember a friend that I said, "Say, can I ask you about such and such? And what happened to her?" It was in a restaurant where we knew most of the people, and one of them had disappeared. And I just started off in that fashion to another waitress, and she's a good-natured, happy person that always has some, rather flip remark for everything that she says. And she said, "Sure, you can ask me. And if I don't know what you want to know, I can at least start a rumor." Well, that's the way with many people when they handle the Word of God. If they don't know what it means, at least that they can make up an interpretation and get a rumor started, and maybe somebody will buy it and say, "Hey, that's wonderful." But we don't intend to do that in any part of the Word of God. This is something that belongs to the future. It does not belong to the present time. And applications can be made of very little of this. But the important portions of this that need the most careful and definite study, even to the point of memorization, are those portions where Ezekiel deals with the return of Israel. And as I've already shown you, these begin in the 11th chapter, and they continue then on into the 20th chapter. And in the 20th chapter, you find one of the most important chapters of the Old Testament. You find certain things as we go on into chapter 34 and into chapter 35 and 36. All of these that have to do with the with the return of the people of Israel, especially in chapter 34, those are the things on which I have tried to put the emphasis. That story of the Valley of Dry Bones is just something that most people, well, let a minister get a hold of that, and if he's one of those fellows that has entered into a covenant with himself to be funny on every occasion, he'll finish up making a big joke out of it, just as someone wrote a popular song about it and made a joke of the whole thing. I have not joked about it. It's a real thing to me, and a very important thing, because this deals with the future resurrection of every man that came out of Abraham through Isaac. It deals with the time when every one of these, without exception, shall stand at the bar of God to have their case adjudicated, to see who should be eliminated from this nation and who should be allowed to live upon the in the land of Israel in the day that God governs. That is what is to be. We have seen that those that became proselytes, the strangers in their midst, would be allowed to live among them and to enjoy an inheritance with them. No one can become a proselyte to Israel today. There would be no one that could take them in. No one that could possibly take them in, as well as there would be no one that could put them out of Israel today. Only God could do that. And so Ezekiel gives us some very important truths, especially in regard to the regathering when God does it. Oh, I know that in their wanderings, that some of the Israelites have wandered back the land of Israel. Well, that won't help God any, and it won't hinder God any. In the day that God determines to fulfill his promise to take the children of Israel from among the nations whither they have gone, gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. If they're living ones, they will be gathered. If they're among the dead, they will be gathered, and they will be brought back just as the Lord said in Ezekiel chapter 20, that he would bring them to that place in the wilderness, which is the place of separation. It always stands for a place of separation. And he says, I'll plead with you there face to face, that is directly, just as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. And God did plead them with the wilderness of the land of Egypt, not in the land of Egypt, but in the wilderness after they were brought out in a place of separation. And this will all be done in the day when God restores Israel. Well, that completes our study of the book of Ezekiel, and I've done the best that I could with it at the present time. And so until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.